Sober hosing that way and putting it underneath your amendments is such a smart idea.
And when you're mulching around a tree,
yep.
Think crater, not volcano.
And how much do I buy? And do I have to get a whole yard or like...
Or a sprinkler, watering can. You're going to probably need more water.
Like different grades of mulch, and I never know which one to use. Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners Podcast. Well, Colin, this week we have a lot of ground to cover.
Right out of the gate, eh?
I was brewing that one for a while now. No, but this week we're talking all about exactly that. We're talking about ground cover because it's something that, like, as gardeners, we just go straight to plants, right? We don't really talk about the foundational stuff.
It's all the big hitters. Plants, soil, fertilizer.
Yeah.
Okay, but not to make a pun about the ground, but it kind of does. There are certain foundational things that can absolutely help. And I'm not just talking about plant health, because at the end of the day, if I had to pick between row planting for productivity and general aesthetic, aesthetic is winning every time. It's not even close.
No, of course, because that's what you look at when you come home every day.
That's so, it. I want that beauty. So.
Yes, exactly. But there's a lot of function to ground cover as well. So let's start with that. Like, what do we mean by ground cover? Because, I mean, assuming this is ground cover, right?
Yeah. So that right there is probably the reason I grabbed that one. The rest of it... It can be attractive, but it doesn't look attractive if you just drop a 20-pound bag of rock on the table. When it's washed and it's got rain on it, it can look pretty. So I just put some cedar mulch in there because I think mulch is, if you say mulch in the garden, everybody knows what you mean.
100%. Yeah.
Now, there are questions. Do you mean bark chips? Do you mean shredded mulch? Do you mean cedar mulch? Do you mean colored mulch? But that's exactly what ground cover is. We're talking about our fabrics.
Okay.
We're talking about our rocks, decorative rocks. We're also talking about, like you mentioned, with your home, with that Rundle rock. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, we call that like 0 to 10 millimeter rock.
Okay.
We're talking mulches. So anything that is covering the ground, not plants, for a purpose of either function or aesthetic, that's what we're talking about today.
Okay. Well, do we want to just dive into kind of a little brief overview of all of them? Because you mentioned fabric, but what kinds of fabric can people expect to use?
There's one, but then there's many grades of that one.
See, this is where it gets complicated. Yeah.
So we have fabrics. We have shade cloth, frost blankets, burlap.
Yeah.
And then we have weed barrier. And the weed barrier is the fabric that you want to put down.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's different grades. All that means is how thick and how durable it is.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say I have used every single type of it. You absolutely get your money's worth by buying the heavier grade.
Oh, okay. So so when you mean get your money's worth, meaning it'll last for more years.
Yeah, because I get it, right? We're all looking at our wallets these days, 100%. But fabric isn't essential. I would rather wait a year, add to my gardening budget, and buy the better fabric than put down a cheap fabric. Because you have to remember, normally we don't put fabric down and leave the fabric. We normally cover it with a mulch. So now you have this very thin layer of weed barrier that has organic material under it, organic material on top of it, and holds moisture.
Yeah.
It's going to start to deteriorate. Yeah. So you want a thicker one. So I recommend, you don't have to buy like the industrial landscape, a heavy duty grade, but buy the best one that you can. I use fabric if I'm putting down decorative rock to stop the rock sinking into the mud.
Ah, interesting.
So if it's sitting just directly on the soil and it rains, mud comes up, it splashes. Now my rock doesn't look as nice, and then over a couple of years that rock's going to sink into the wet earth because it's heavier, and I'm losing rock.
Interesting.
I like my fabric as a protective barrier for decorative rock, not as a weed barrier, because I don't want that in my beds.
Do you know Dan downstairs told me a really cool tidbit about fabric? Because you've noticed in our houseplant department we have that shade cloth over top of the, you know, right over top. And I was like, hey, why is that? And he was just like, you know, it can be quite harsh, the sunlight, and then it just kind of helps to even out the sun a little bit, provide a little bit of shade. Yep. And he said, you can do that at home too. So if you have like a greenhouse, put up a little bit of shade cloth over top, and then you can kind of help with the sun. That's so cool.
Yeah, shade cloth can work like a frost blanket on those days where it is scorching hot.
Yeah.
Your plants are stressing in the heat. It's bouncing off a white wall. Mm-hmm. You can cover them like you would if it was going to hail.
Yeah.
Keep that sun off them, still allow them to breathe, keep moisture in the ground, and away you go. Yeah.
So you can use it as ground cover and also ceiling cover.
Yeah, that's two different types of fabric, though.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, so...
So shade cloth, burlap, and frost blanket. Frost blanket keeps the frost off your plants.
Okay.
Shade cloth goes above your plants to prevent sun from hitting
them. Oh.
Burlap is used as either decoration or winter protection from the wind.
Yeah.
And fabric is used, weed fabric is used to keep weeds down. Weed fabric goes directly on the soil.
And weed fabric is also known as landscape fabric, right? So if you go to your garden center and maybe it's called that. So.
Exactly.
Okay. And then you were going into what you put over top of your fabric, your reed fabric, and talking about mulches, you mentioned bark chips. I have definitely seen like different grades of mulch and I never know which one to use. Never. I'm just like, is this an aesthetic choice or is this a function thing?
Okay. The best, I got to tell this anecdotally because it made me laugh. A number of years ago, we had a rookie in garden supplies, good kid, and he called me because a customer had a question about mulch.
Yeah.
So I went down and asked, and that question was, do I have to use mulch to mount around my roses to protect them in the winter, or can I use soil?
Oh.
So I said, no, you want to use mulch, not soil, and I give this whole explanation why, and they were like, well, what about the chips? I'm like, no, you can't use the chips. See, it is relevant. I'm not just going off on a tangent. I was like, you want to use the shredded mulch? And I must have spent 10 minutes with this customer answering all their questions, and then they were like, okay, great. So the mulch they have at Walmart will do it?
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, our mulch will as well. And they were like, okay, and literally walked out the exit door. It happens. But anyway, so the difference is, what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. Are you looking for form or are you looking for functionality?
Yeah.
Because some people love this look. They love the shredded mulch. They love the cedar, fresh cedar. You get the fragrance.
Yeah.
But it starts to deteriorate. Mm. It can pale out in the sun. Some people don't like that look of it as much. The chips really are just aesthetic. Okay, so they're the big hunks. When we're talking chips, we're talking the big pieces of bark.
Yeah.
They're not going to do much to keep moisture in the soil or keep weeds down because airflow can get through, water easily penetrates.
Mm-hmm.
So using a shredded mulch is better to insulate your soil as opposed to the bark chips. But a lot of people think the bark chips look nicer. So if you want both, you can always put mulch down and then put bark chips on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's smart. Okay.
Yeah.
And so you get both, the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
And I was surprised to see how diverse mulch can be. Like just looking downstairs, I mean, we have our bagged mulches and it comes in different colors. We have the cedar, we have all of our bulk products and different kinds of textures. Like it almost looks like a mulch salad. You get like a little bit of everything, you know, like it's really quite cool. So depending on what your aesthetic is, you know,
exactly.
you can just match it right up and it'll look so nice.
And I know some people do not care for the aesthetic whatsoever.
Like just mulch. Yeah.
Yeah. They're using it purely for function. So mulch will insulate the soil. It'll regulate the temperature of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
If weeds get in, so a weed seed lands on top and it starts going into the mulch, the root isn't into the soil. So they're super easy to pull out.
Oh, nice.
You can just rough the mulch up and normally they fall over, the root's in the sun and it dies.
That speaks to me.
Yeah,
for sure.
So it's really good. One thing on mulch, depth. Depth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I always got asked that downstairs. Yeah. Like how deep do you put it?
Ideally 2 inches.
That's it?
That's it. That's it. That's all you need.
I mean, I guess that makes sense because when you're thinking about weeds like coming through, they're very tiny.
And,
so.
And it's going to insulate. You put down too little, there's no point.
Yeah.
You know, what have you done? You put down too much. I saw one garden one time, but somebody called me up, actually a friend of mine in Calgary. And they'd had a landscaper do their yard, And they were like, can you come check it out? I'm not entirely happy. Mm-hmm. So I went and looked, and I'm not kidding. In some places in the yard, there was about 6 inches of mulch.
Six inches? Yeah. Oh, no, their poor wallet.
You're choking out the perennials. Yeah. You water, now your water has to get through 6 inches of mulch before it even gets to the roots.
Yeah.
So you put your sprinkler on, or you water by hand. You think you've given enough. You've given a liter of water to a plant, and maybe 100 milliliters makes it down to the roots.
Right.
So you've been counterproductive. Also, mulch is organic. It's wood. Mm-hmm. You've got that much trapped, and it's preventing the heat from getting to the soil, so it's absorbing the heat. And it has moisture in, it starts to rot.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So now you've introduced pathogens. Fungus. Yeah. So the whole thing was just a nightmare. But yeah, you don't want to go deep. I see people and they go, oh, I need 4 to 5 inches of mulch. And it's like, no, you don't. And when you're mulching around a tree, think crater, not volcano.
That's very important. Yeah.
So when you get up to the tree, and for the people who are listening, I'll explain it. I'm using my hands too. In honor of Maiko, I'm going full Italian. but as you come close to your tree, where the trunk of your tree is, you want to dip down. Okay. Uh-huh. So you think crater.
Yeah.
So you think as though like something's hit and the mulch has exploded out.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people, when they mulch their tree, they think, oh, this will be beneficial. And they build the mulch up.
Yeah.
Now you're holding moisture at the base of the tree. You're preventing gas exchange. Mm-hmm. You're hurting. Even in nature, if you look, the trees have established where their mulch is. Mm-hmm. And you scrape it away and the roots are normally right there.
Yeah.
So just a thin layer cratering down to your tree.
And what about replacing mulch?
So if it's deteriorated, because that's the other good thing about mulch, it can act as a food. Mm-hmm. So as it's breaking down, it's naturally composting into the soil. So you start off with 2 inches. In 2 years, you've only got an inch. Mm-hmm. So you may want to top it up for that. Some people don't like the faded look. So they want it freshened up every year. So really, that's a personal aesthetical choice. If you're looking at function, just check the depth.
Okay.
But that's actually a really good tie-in. Back to what I was saying at the beginning, why I don't like fabric in my flower beds.
Yeah.
So I see people, they do a flower bed, they lay out their perennials, they put the fabric down, and then they take an X-Acto and they cut out where the pot goes.
Yeah.
Dig out the soil,
yeah.
Put the perennial in, plant it, and then mulch over the top.
Yeah.
Great. How am I amending my soil in the spring?
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah.
You're not. I guess at that point, you would have to give up amendment and go just straight for fertilizer.
Exactly. And that, you know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't like fabric in a bed.
Yeah.
I really don't. Because maybe in a veggie garden where they're all annuals, mm-hmm. because every year you rip them out and then you could peel the fabric back. You could amend the soil and then you could put the fabric back over.
Yeah.
More work than I'm prepared to do. I'd rather just weed. But I can see that you're planting the tomatoes in the same spot every year. They go in the same holes. You've already got your marks. Mm-hmm. No problem. I can dig that. But a perennial, you put in a 4-inch perennial pot like a daisy. At the end of the year, that's tripled, quadrupled in size. Yep. You're not getting the fabric off without cutting it or damaging the plant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I don't like it. So what I do when I mulch, in the spring, I pull all the mulch to the edge of the bed. I amend my soil. I push the mulch back. If it looks thin or it looks used, it doesn't look very nice. I replenish it with some fresh ones to bring it to the level I want. And then I go on.
Easy.
Yep. It's easy. Super easy.
Okay. Well, I'm now a fan of mulch. let's move on to straw. So how can straw be used as a ground cover? Because my grandmother used to put it on her strawberries and I never knew why.
It's personally not my choice.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of people, we brought in a new straw. We've always carried big straw bales. People love it. Mm. Basically, it works the same as mulch.
Cool.
Does have better water penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Where wood is more absorbent, straw, a lot of the water beads off it. So the water gets down to your soil easier, but then the straw insulates. It's lighter, so it reflects the sun.
Yeah.
So it's a good soil temperature regulator.
Okay.
So drainage, it breaks down quicker, so you're constantly feeding your soil. So mm-hmm. those are some of the benefits. I'm not a big fan of straw because if it dries out and it starts blowing around your yard and I just aesthetically, does it have a purpose? Absolutely. aesthetically, I don't particularly like it. And that's what I said at the beginning. It's all about aesthetics.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And I mean, if it's something that interests you, definitely give it a shot and see if it's something you like. It's so funny when you said it's called strawberries and I was like, oh, strawberries. Yeah. Okay.
There is a whole thing. I don't know it properly. I've never looked into it where people take one of those compressed hay bales.
Okay.
And they take like a really sharp knife cutters. And they cut holes in the hay bales, they put in some amendments, and then they plant the strawberries directly into the hay bales, and then they saturate it. Now, I've never seen it, I've never done it, but I'm
a little curious.
Yeah, the reason I know that is I've had customers come and tell me that's why they're buying the straw bale.
Cool. And did they seem like beginners, or?
No, they, and every single one of them seemed like a farmer. Never thought to ask, do you have a picture? Can you send me a picture?
Yeah. We have Google, so we'll look it up. And then I just want to go over roughly just rocks, because that's another one where it's kind of like mulch. There's a lot of different kinds that you can choose from.
Yeah.
Is there a function to rock, or is it mostly aesthetic?
It's primarily aesthetic.
Yeah.
But there is a functionality to rock. I do not use it in a flower bed.
Okay.
The functionality is more... what you call hardscaping.
Okay.
So building a dog run.
Yeah.
Okay, because you can put down a few inches of limestone or rundle, and it's easy to clean up. You can like literally hose it down.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, if it starts to smell, there's a lot of pee there. You can literally take buckets of soapy water.
Yeah.
Okay, bleach the stuff if you really want. Because I'm assuming if it's a dog run, you're not planning on growing in it.
Yeah, you don't have to be worried about grass. Yeah.
So... there's a high functionality for that, but not so much for plants. That being said, I've seen people put decorative rock in flower beds, but again, you need a fabric beneath it. I'm like, you can't amend. And that's what I'm all about.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's pretty much like the primary kinds of ground cover that you can really expect to see at a garden center.
Yeah.
What's really tough is like... And kind of going back to rock is when you go to the garden center and you're like, okay, I'm ready to buy this. And you're like, how many do I buy? And how much do I buy? And do I have to get a whole yard? Or like what would be your advice to somebody going to the garden center, even before they go to the garden center, just to like make their decision making a little bit easier?
Go to goldenacre.ca. No. I'm serious.
Actually?
Go down to our volume calculator.
Oh my gosh.
And put in the numbers you want.
Yeah.
And that'll tell you what you need.
Okay. Well, I feel sad that I work here and I didn't know that.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? No, it's actually on me, because that's the reason I brought that up specifically is you mentioned it right then. I was like, oh yeah, I never thought about that. And I've had two people ask me in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And I was like, I haven't told anybody that we have a volume calculator.
That's amazing though. That's so handy.
Yeah. So... you want to measure out your beds, measure out your area, do a square footage, time for some grade 8 maths, figure out your square footage, figure out the depth.
Yeah.
Again, some people might be like, nope, I want to do 3 inches of mulch. Other people, they want the aesthetic of the rock, but they're like, ugh, I want it to be thin. I'll add every year. Because that's the thing about rock is it doesn't break down.
Mm-hmm.
So rock... if you're putting down decorative rock, say around a spruce tree, okay, you don't have to do it all in one shot. You can put a bit down and then next year buy a few more bags, and it'll be totally fine. But go to a volume calculator and then you can put in your square footage, you can alter the depth, you can, I'm pretty sure you can work in inches and feet, or you can work in centimeters and meters, whatever your choice is. And it will literally say you need X amount, and then you can just come, and that's, and you can, most of them you can buy in the big yellow bags from our friends at Eagle Lake. You can buy them in bags. You can buy them in loose bulk. You've got a ton of options for what you need to get it home.
Oh, how good the times have changed, you know?
I know.
Like now less guesswork, which is really good.
Yeah.
Say you go to the garden center and you're like trying to decide between all of the different kinds of ground cover. Like what would be your advice to somebody making that decision, like what is right for you?
My first question is going to be, what are you looking for?
Okay.
Okay. So, one that I've haven't converted many people. I got to be honest. I'd like to say I'd converted more, but I've absolutely converted a few. And I know you've heard this. I think we've even talked about it on the podcast. I can't grow grass around my spruce tree.
Yes. I've heard that all the time.
Yep. has nothing to do with the acidity from the spruce tree. It has everything to do with the amount of shade and water stealing that the spruce tree does. Mm-hmm. And it makes it very hot. You can do it. I have done it. But it's very labor intensive. Mm-hmm. You've constantly got to overseed. You've got to make sure you've got a good soil. It's just more work than it's worth. And the vast majority of people aren't prepared to spend the money and the time doing it. So change the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Wherever the grass, so often on a spruce tree, you'll see the grass is really good. Then it gets to a point and it goes thin, patchy, bald.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right where it goes thin, take an edger, cut a circle, put in some edging, maybe some nice bricks, put down some landscape fabric and put down a rock. Mm-hmm. Which color rock do you want? That's entirely up to you.
Yeah.
Put down mulch because, again, it's aesthetic.
Yeah.
So I would start there. Like, what are you trying to do?
You know, it's interesting. I'm learning a lot about my new neighbors. There's actually a neighbor across the street who have taken out all of their lawn and it's only rock.
Nice.
But they've done it in a really tasteful way and they've added different shapes and textures and colors. And it almost, it almost looks like a...
If it's
like
done properly.
Yeah, like an art piece. Like it looks really nice and like it works for their lifestyle, obviously.
Yep.
But one thing I want to talk about before we go into watering and kind of like the general maintenance is... What would you also consider using plants as ground cover? Because I have a tree outside my new house and it's that big deciduous tree.
Right.
But on the bottom, it's not mulch or anything. They've actually used like an evergreen, almost like a spreading juniper.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
And that seems pretty interesting. Do you think that that's like, what are the benefits of doing that?
Yeah. I love ground cover plants. Ajuga in Montreal, Lysimacha or Creeping Jenny grows as a perennial.
Yeah.
Vinca, another one. It's probably one of my all-time favorite plants is Vinca. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to remember a lot of ground cover plants can become, for want of a better way, invasive.
Mm.
So I've seen Creeping Jenny in Montreal as a perennial when it's established and it's such a good look. So you know how it's got that bright yellow leaf?
Yeah.
So you put it down and then you put perennials amongst it and it grows and it covers the ground.
Yeah.
Okay. And it can take light foot traffic so you can walk to deadhead and whatnot. But as it establishes and becomes more vigorous, often it'll start growing up the other perennials and it can start choking them out. Plus, it's low growing, so it's keeping everything off the soil. So it is doing its job. It's insulating the soil. But the moment you fertilize, it's sucking it up.
Mm-hmm.
It's stealing as much of it as it can in the water and you can't amend the soil.
Mm-hmm.
You can do light scatterings of, you know, cocoa coir over the top, but you can't put anything heavy because you're just going to cover the plant.
Okay.
So... ground cover plants are incredible, but I like them used somewhere to break up a pathway.
Okay.
A flagstone path. Yeah. Or if you have a patio, a flagstone or stone patio, putting a creeping thyme to come over the rock or Lysimacha or something like that. There are options, but to use them, if you're doing a crop cover, something that you're going to till in at the end of the year, sure, go for that. But a perennial one, as a border, sure, but I wouldn't use it as a control.
So use caution and just kind of monitor things, how the season goes, kind of figure out what you want to go with. And that's the other thing. You don't have to be married to what you choose either.
Nope.
If it's not working out, if it doesn't look good, then you can always, you know, change it up at the end of the season. Next year, go and do something else or whatever.
Change the color of your mulch.
Yeah, you can just move that mulch elsewhere or compost it.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's what's nice about it being organic material is that, you know, you don't have to keep it forever. So, and if you like it, then great. Keep doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Let's just quickly talk, because we talked a little bit about fertilizing and watering, just with it being, you know, depending on the material that you have, you know, watering. Is there anything special that we should probably pass along to everybody?
Yes. So if you're traditionally watering, so you're going with your hose gun or a sprinkler, watering can, you're going to probably need more water than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Because now it has to filter through all of the mulch and maybe fabric if that's what you've done. And a lot of people do before it can get to the soil and start soaking into the plants. Doesn't really matter so much when it rains because it saturates everything. So that hits saturation point and it's all leaching into your plants. But a lot of times when it's hot, we go out with our hose, and in the spring when the plant is little and it's cooler and we soak it and we go, okay, that was 30 seconds with the hose. And then your plant gets bigger and you go, that's 30 seconds with the hose. Well, the plant needs more water naturally because it's bigger. It has a bigger root system. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting down, and the sun is drying everything out.
Yeah.
So water more than you think, mm-hmm. or change the way you're watering. Mm. And by that, I mean use root feeders, or, and this is, if you're doing your tomatoes or your perennial bed, and you know where they are, and they're all laid out, and you want to put your fabric down, and you want to put your mulch down, yeah. before you put them down, run a soaker hose.
Oh, I love soaker hoses. Yep.
And then you put all of that on top of it.
Yep.
And now there's no water escaping. You've insulated any water coming out, and you're just saturating the soil.
That's a way to save water, too. I feel like that. And huge. That's like you've been mentioning for a couple of weeks now. Like that seems to be at the top of at least Albertans' minds, yep. is trying to conserve as much water as possible. So utilizing a soaker hose in that way and putting it underneath your amendments is such a smart idea.
And it's so easy if you're doing row planting for your tomatoes. Run the soaker hose, coil it around, run it down the next row.
Way easier.
Yeah, they connect together. And then only thing I would recommend if you're doing that, before you do it, test your soaker hose.
Yeah.
Check your flow rate. See how long it needs to be on for your plants to be fully saturated.
Yeah.
Because once you've put the fabric over it and you've put the mulch over it and you turn it on, you're like, I don't know if that's due.
I don't know.
I got nothing.
So is that just information that you'd find in the actual soaker hose packaging, or?
I don't know. I've never seen it written down ever.
So you just kind of have to monitor it. Well,
most people, and here's the other thing too: soaker hoses. Again, we're going to go back to my favorite subject, aesthetics. Mm-hmm. Soaker hoses aren't really that aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like you know what really bugs me?
What?
Well, okay, I got to stop saying that because the list is pretty. It's a long
list. We need a new segment on this show called Colin's.
What really bugs Colin this week? When people have gone out and gardened, okay, and they're finished, and they've weeded and they've deadheaded and they've fertilized and they've done all of that, and they're finished, and they just leave the hose out in the middle of the garden.
Yeah,
just call it up, just put it away.
Yeah.
Call it by hand. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that annoys me, I don't care about what you do personally because it's your hose. But if it's my hose, so I've asked Harry to water a few times and then I go to get my hose and it's just thrown in a pile because he knows I don't like it left out. And I'm just like,
it's not neat.
And then I'm trying to pull it out and it's kinking.
Oh,
and it's
good. Yeah.
Just coil your hose. Yeah. Just coil your hose. That's it. Just make your little coils. But
no, and you have to make it fun. You need one of those little hose reels. That was my favorite thing when I was a kid. Really? I never put it into a pile because I loved being like, and then just like wringing it up.
Were you feeding it with your hand so it was super even?
Yeah, it became very nice. This is a very nice thing.
But good on you.
Yeah.
Put the hose away.
Yeah, exactly.
It just looks terrible. You've done all that work. 3 minutes of effort. And mm-hmm. it's finished and it's done. I get it. It's hot. It's tired. But you don't want to go out and start messing with a dirty hose after you've had your shower and got changed. Yeah. I've done that mistake too. I'll clean up when I'm done. This is obviously decades ago. And then you shower, you put on clean clothes and you go out and like you're picking up the tools like they're contaminated.
Can't get dirty.
Kicking it along the lawn.
Yeah.
I don't like soaker hose on top.
No.
And plus, you've got to run it for even longer because now it's got to saturate the mulch, the fabric, and then get down to all the roots. So prep everything, amend your soil, make everything look great, lay out your soaker hose, and turn it on.
Oh, that's so satisfying. Honestly, I think the soaker hose is my biggest takeaway from today's episode. But I also feel like, I know I just moved in, but I really want to try all of these amendments just to kind of see if I think I've got most of these ground covers already established in my yard, which means we had really great gardeners before us.
Yep.
But it's interesting. I want to see how they work. I want to use soaker hoses. I even want to try straw just to be like, I want to see it for myself kind of thing. So,
absolutely. Try like, again, you said this and it's a great point.
Yeah.
You put it down and you're like, well, it worked, but it's really not pretty.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Exactly. We should try again next year.
Because one of our mulches, I don't know that everybody knows this. So we have naturally shredded mulch. Mm-hmm. We have the chips. We've got all of the natural styles of mulch. But the colored mulch, one of the reasons they color it, that's recycled material.
Oh, cool.
So the company, they're a local company in Calgary. I've gone down. I've toured the facility. They invited me down. It was a lot of fun. They take old pallets, old benches, anything. Like if we decided, oh, let's redo this and we couldn't use this lumber, mm-hmm. drop it off there. And they've got a massive industrial shredder. And it just blasts the wood, chips it up, and then they put it out and they pass a colossal magnet. One of the strongest magnets ever. Like, wow. Don't take your phone next to it. Picks out any nails, any debris. Then they filter it again. Then they run it through a dyeing process and then they bag it. So rather than that stuff just going to landfills or sitting and just rotting and going to waste, they're actually turning it into something beneficial for the garden.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's something interesting. If you're going into your local garden center, look for a company like that.
Yeah.
Right? Kind of promote that more earth conscious.
Yep. It's eco-recycling. I'll shout them out. Yeah. I'll shout them out because I love what they do.
Yeah.
It's eco-recycling. I think they're down in your neck of the woods. I think the southeast.
Oh, yeah. Just off of just north of Douglasdale kind of thing. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. They're awesome.
That's cool. Well, I hope that that you took something from this episode. I definitely took a lot from this episode. And it wraps us up for this week. Wherever you're watching or listening from, thank you for visiting us, Garden Nerds. You can help support this planty place by leaving us a review wherever you stream your favorite podcasts. We're on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google. We'd really appreciate your feedback. If you're listening on Spotify, make sure to give us your perspective on our polls and question of the week. You can send us an email, info@goldenacre.ca. Just put like podcast somewhere in the subject line and then we'll see it. Next week, we're diving into a whole bunch more spring content. I love this season.
I know, it's so good. The only problem with spring and summer is there is so much content to try and fit in.
Oh, gosh.
And then you're like, is it relevant to talk about begonias in November?
I don't think so. But also just we're so inspired by the season, right? So we just want to talk about everything. Yep. Like this is our Super Bowl. This is when we get so excited and we just want to get into the dirt. And we can't even get outside yet, but I'm getting this excited.
I know. Are you walking around the garden and looking at things? And I guess you're getting
No, I went for our home inspection last week and I actually went outside because all the snow melted. So now I can actually get a good view of what everything looks like. Like, I'm like, this is where the chickens are going. This is where my dog is going. This is where my garden bed is going. I'm like, ooh, I have these trees. Maybe I can mulch the trees. Like,
there you go.
I've got all these ideas. So, and I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure everybody out there is probably like itching to get into the garden.
Spring is inspirational for sure.
Yeah. So let us know if there's anything that you want to learn more about and then we can talk about it on the podcast and then maybe you can implement it in your own garden. So we'll catch you next weekend.
Bye, everyone.